All right, I wanted to ask the question, for whom did Christ die? It is a question that has been answered various ways, and because of what we were talking about with election and predestination, and a very different understanding of that than what historically, since the Reformation, has been given to us, understand that the main answer that the Calvinist gives is that Jesus sacrificed himself on a one-to-one basis only for those the Father had already chosen. Their thinking is that he would not die for someone that would later have to die. See? Then that would be two payments. They're saying that it's offered to all, but he only died for those that God had already chosen ahead of time. Now, we were pointing out that the person's salvation, God controls everything, except he has decided to give us that choice to either accept or reject his love. And so he refuses to choose for us. He refuses to change our choice if we choose against him. We have to answer for that ourselves. Now, Charles Ryrie tried to get a little better in his book, Basic Theology. He said the proper question should be, did Christ purpose, by coming into the world, to make provision for the salvation of all people, realizing that the Father would mysteriously draw the elect to himself and allow others to reject the provision made? Now, the mistake that he's basing this on is that he still thinks that God the Father chose ahead of time, see, who would be saved. So he says, well, Christ wanted to make a provision for everybody, but, of course, only those who are elect will choose. So he's made that mistake. He wasn't able to follow it through completely. So our answer is that he died that any and all could be saved. But that will depend upon whether we accept that or not. That his death, the purpose of the death, was to allow salvation to happen, because it could not have happened without his death. So, secondly, the views. The Arminian view says, we believe in universal redemption or unlimited atonement. Now, this includes the concept that God gives enough grace to enable each man to be saved. Well, it's true to the degree that that God is reaching for each of us. He does give us light. He gives us understanding. He puts his law in the heart. He does all of these things. But he doesn't make that decision for us. The Calvinist, two concepts here. One is the Emeraldians, named after Moses Emeraldus. He was 1596 to 1664. He believed in universal redemption, that the purpose of Christ's death was to actually provide a substitute for all. Therefore, all will be saved. And his idea of the missionary work is to go out and say, good news, you're saved. You didn't know that, but you're saved. Everybody's saved. Because Christ's sacrifice was so powerful that it saved everybody. Then we come to five-point Calvinism. And they, I mentioned before, they summarize it by the letters of the flower tulip, T-U-L-I-P. And T was total depravity, U is unconditional election. The L is limited atonement. That's where they did, that he died only for those that God had chosen. But I is irresistible grace, meaning that when God begins to call you, you can't resist him. You'll try to resist, but you'll get saved anyway. And so the implication is that it was God doing it, not your choice. And then finally, the preservation perseverance of the saints. And this, while you and I would believe that once we got saved, we always stay saved, that would be preservation. They would preach preservation, and that is that somebody who isn't following closely shows themselves not to be elect. Now, underline this by saying this discussion concerns men's philosophies more than biblical revelation. We've been talking about that. They get the concept and then they logically follow through with it. So it logically makes sense, but logic doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It just means it's logical, that one point follows the other. See? So if I believe that the red cup is actually an armadillo, then it would be logical for me to say, don't try to drink out of it, you know, that type of thing. That would be logical, just wouldn't be true. My third point is this. Here are some important facts. We believe in the unlimited offer of salvation, right? We don't say, wait a minute, are you elect or not? If you are, then I'll preach to you. If not, forget it. See, we don't do that. But the unlimited offer of salvation does not teach that all will be saved. That's not the same thing. Again, God is allowing us to make the choice. Secondly, whether you believe people are elect or not, all people begin as lost, including the elect. They weren't born saved because somehow in the past God said, you're going to get saved. You're actually born lost, and you're not saved until you experience the new birth. Third thing is this, whoever eventually receives salvation, however they do it, they must believe in Christ as Savior. There has to be that, or they're not saved. You think they're elect, it doesn't matter to me, see? The point is, have they trusted Christ as Savior? If not, they're not saved, no matter how elect you think they might be. And then fourth, it is true that some scriptures relate Christ's sacrifice to the elect. Christ died for the elect. But the issue is, how does this relate to Christ's sacrifice and resurrection? See, the question that we've answered is, he has given us, he has fulfilled the legality of the new covenant that is now waiting for us to say, apply that to me. That's the biblical answer. So let me share with you, fourthly, the testimony of Scripture. And this will take us to the end. Several verses here. And this is dealing with the concept, for whom did Christ die? He died for the whole world, allowing each of the people of the whole world the opportunity to be saved. Not the necessity, because he's waiting on their choice. One is a verse you probably never heard of, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave. This word so means in this manner. God in this manner loved the world. He didn't love the sinfulness. He didn't love the waywardness. In this way, he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the new covenant. The giving of his Son, that laid it, opened up the possibility so that the second part, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just sitting there believing without Christ having been sacrificed wouldn't have accomplished anything. That would have been just us sitting in our sin trying to believe. So he did the work that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. Clearly means that God loved the world of sinful humanity since he gave his Son to allow them to believe. It is clear that only believers receive salvation, not some, they don't receive salvation because of some election of God the Father. The second verse is Acts 17:30. The Apostle Paul is preaching to the Greeks. And the times of this ignorance, your ignorance of God, the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The command is the same for every person of the human race. It is not divided up that he gives a kind of command to the elect, knowing they're going to get saved anyway, and another kind of command, knowing that they're not going to get saved. That's not it. This is universal. It's constant. Commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Everybody needs to repent, whether you think they were elect or not. The third section here deals with our first Timothy passage in chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, and chapter 4, verse 10. All right, the first part, verses 4 to 6, chapter 2, speaking of God the Father, who will have all men to be saved. He is wanting all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, speaking of Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, this phrase, who gave himself a ransom for all, the word all in the Greek is plural, unusual concept for us, but it could be a singular all or a plural all. Plural makes it stronger than the singular, and the emphasis here is all without exception. Here, wanting all men to be saved, he says Christ gave himself a ransom for every human being. The Calvinists can't allow that, because he would be a ransom only for the elect. So for whom did he die? All without exception. Opposes the Calvinist idea that Christ's ransom was only for the elect or those chosen for salvation. All right, the second part in 1 Timothy is chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, we as missionaries, Paul says, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men. And then he says, especially of those that believe. Christ is the Savior of all men, period, but especially those that believe. The all men here must include the lost. Do you see that? Because he contrasts it with those that believe. Now, what this says is that in some sense, Christ is the Savior whether they believe or not. See? He's that same Savior to the person that believes as he is to the person that does not believe. The difference is whether they trust him or not. The fourth passage is Hebrews 2:9. Here he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels because he became human, he was made a little lower than the angels for the, or by the suffering of death, crowned with glory. After his death, he is raised in glory to the Father, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, and notice this phrase, should taste death for every man. Now, this is the Greek all, but it's singular, and therefore the preference is to every kind of man. So here the emphasis is not just to the wealthy versus the poor, or the Jew versus the Greek, or the dark hair rather than the blonde, you know, all of these distinctions we might make, but for every kind of man. He tasted death for every kind of human being. The next one, the fifth one, is 2 Peter 2:1. Here he's talking about false prophets. And I'll try to be as precise in the exegesis here. Peter says, but there were false prophets also among the people, talking about false prophets among Israel in times past, even as there shall be false teachers among you, people of the church, who privately, secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. This word destruction at various times refers to the final destruction in hell, but not always. And in fact, this phrase, damnable heresies, is the same word, perishable heresies. Now, there's only two possible meanings, and that is that these false teachers are actually Christians who, because of their disobedience, receive a physical destruction of some kind, some judgment in this life, and God destroys them. But the only other meaning is that Christ's redeeming work, his buying work, was actually even for those who would reject. Now that fits with the pattern that we've been seeing, that Christ's work was for all, and the decision is left for us to make. And let me close the sixth one with 1 John 2:2, which we've dealt with several times. And he, Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. John writing to Christians. He is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, again, means that he satisfied God. He made God happy. God was angry with sin. Now he made God happy. Now he says he is the propitiation for our sins. Then he adds this thing that must drive the Calvinist crazy. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Clear contrast between saved and unsaved. But the same propitiation that he did for the saved, those who would get saved, he also did for those who don't get saved. The whole world, the whole sinful human society. So again, we see that the new covenant was a broad class action legal work. One action done for all. And if you choose to be a part of that, you are included. If you do not choose it, you're not included. For whom did Christ die? The answer is he died for all men, and it's effective for those who believe.